Today we're going to focus on a dimension of Shabbos, which I suspect is in many ways well known to many of us, but perhaps not in this frame. And this dimension of Shabbos is, of course, wholly pervasive. It dominates our experience of Shabbos. It's the way we frame and experience this day, and that is the experience of Malacha. What do we mean when we talk about Iser Malacha on Shabbos? And what does it mean to us? What does it mean objectively when we say that there's an Iser Malacha, and what does it mean to us? So one way of addressing this question, of trying to narrow down and zero in on the focus of the nature of an Iser Malacha, it's to start with maybe one of the most well-known, most talked about, and peculiar aspects of Shabbos, which is an avenue to think about Malacha in general. I suspect that some of you have encountered a conversation about this topic, which, in Yirtzeh Hashem, one day in this season, we will give it its own due. But some conversation like this may have happened to you in a workplace or in a conversation with somebody. It may have had to do with, I don't know, people who don't know so much about Yadus coming to a simcha that you had on a Shabbos, and you had to explain to them something having to do with fishing wire. This is a very old story. Some of you are nodding. You've had to explain this. Take a look. Before we start the first Mamakomas, this is an amazing work. This book is called The Land and the Book. This was published by a missionary, a guy by the name of William McClure Thompson, who was traveling to Israel, or at that time, whatever you know you would call it, the land of Israel, in the 1830s. He spent 2 decades in Israel, going around, volgering, checking out, and writing. He wrote a book called, that you see here, it's called The Land and the Book. He wrote this book in 1858. This is the most popular book ever written by an American missionary. Over 200,000 copies of this book were sold. So this was like the biggest hit since the Bible. So he spends a Shabbos, this Christian missionary, in Tzfat in the 1830s. And he says, the following is a specimen of the puerilities enjoined and enforced by their learned rabbis. A Jew must not carry on the Sabbath even so much as a pocket handkerchief, except within the walls of his city. If there are no walls, it follows, according to their perverse logic, that he must not carry at all. To avoid this difficulty, here in Sfed, also known as Tzfat, Sfed, they resort to what they call an Eruv. Poles are set up at the end of the streets, and strings stretch from one to the other. The string represents a wall, and a conscientious Jew may carry his handkerchief anywhere within these strings. And he goes on to say how he thinks this is totally ridiculous. Cannot figure this out. Many, many years later, somebody else in a very different context, another Yid who for comedic and entertainment purposes changed his name to pursue, now he's retired from comedy, he does like public activism. So there was a machloikis, unfortunately, between Jews in a community in Long Island, in Hamptons, someplace, about an Eruv. And so somehow this dispute about the Eruv made its way to this comedian several years ago who did a bit, and we're in a shul, so we're not going to go through the whole bit. I just gave you one screenshot from this bit of one of the members of the cast of this comedy group, this African-American fellow, who is, as you see, dining on a bacon and whatever, I don't know, a fleishig sandwich with a glass of milk, but he says he's allowed because he's wearing an Eruv on his head. You see he's got the Eruv hat. For those who know this reference, this was a cultural reference for a while about the Eruv machlokas in the Hamptons. And this is like, it's really got to be one of the strangest things that we do, that you tie fishing line around a bunch of poles, and you have people walking around Friday, they're looking, you ever see Eruv checkers? They go from one telephone pole to the next, they're looking at the bottom of the pole, they're looking at the top, they're going like this, they're going like that. So try to explain this to somebody. We'll do that in a different shiur. But the story of Eruvin is, it's a din d'rabbanan. It's a rabbinic invention, so to speak, a takana that was made by Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech first instituted a prohibition. In theory, if we lived adjacent to each other, I could carry from my Rishus HaYachid to your Rishus HaYachid. But Shlomo HaMelech said we shouldn't do that. But if you want to create one unified Rishus, we can make an Eruv, which literally means to mix. We're going to make one unified thing. And that, probably in that closet right there, is a box of matzahs that we can all share. If we're all hungry for Shalashuddis, we go into that closet. There's a box of matzahs right there. We can all eat it. We're all together. This is the Takon of Shlomo HaMelech. Why is this whole story an issue? Because Shlomo HaMelech was trying to protect a malacha. What malacha is trying to be safeguarded with this restriction of not carrying things from one place to another, even in places that Min HaTorah are totally permitted? Two backyards, one next to the other, they're both fenced in. They have one gate that opens between them. Min HaTorah, you can go from one to the other. You can carry from one to the other. So what's this trying to protect? It's trying to protect the malacha of carrying, of hotzah. Because Shlomo HaMelech said, you know, people are not necessarily going to pay attention. If I'm taking it to your yard, if I'm going to take it across the street, if it's a Rishus HaRabim, it's a Rishus HaYachid, it's very complicated. It's also interesting that we have this construct of an Eruv, which kind of relates to the peculiarities of the malacha of hotzah. And I bring this whole story up because the malacha of hotzah is an oddball. The Gemara doesn't ask, well, how do you know, it says anywhere, that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos? The Gemara never asks that. You look through all of Masechah Shabbos, the Gemara never asks, where's the source that there's an issue for cooking on Shabbos? It's obvious to the Gemara that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. And the Gemara never asks, how do you know you're not allowed to build, that you can't violate the Malach of Bonet? The Gemara never asks that. But the Gemara, in three different sugyas, in different places in Shas, wonders, how do you know you're not allowed to do hotzah? You're not allowed to carry. So maybe it's learned from Vayavir called Bamachane. There's the Gemara in the beginning of Erevin that discussed this. Three different places where they talk about this issue. So they have to find hints. So why do they have to do that? They don't do that for any other malacha. Setosis in the beginning of Shabbos lets us into a secret. Now, you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara. So let's assume if Tosos says this, it's not Lashon Hara. You ready? Says Tosos in the bottom of page 1, source number 1, our first Mar Bakum. This is the first Tosos, the first page of Tosos in the Masechah Shabbos. So Tosos wants to know, why is it that we're discussing in the first Masechta, the first Mishnah, the first issue is about carrying? About the cases, about a guy who's inside a house and a pauper who's outside. You're familiar with this Mishnah that you take a piece of bread, you give it out to the pauper, he takes it in. That's the discussion at the beginning of Mishnah's Masechah Sukkah, Mishnah Shabbos, about carrying. So Tosfos wonders, why do you give this case? So Tosfos says it's because of a later case that we're going to talk about carrying. So take a look at the second to last line in the Tosfos. Hutzrach l'shanos tvei. We have to talk about this malacha. Mishum de malacha gruahi. It is an inferior malacha. Kemosha efarish, like I'm going to explain. It's an oddball. I don't want to say lashon hara about the malacha futsa, because it's it has feelings. But Tosa says, it's not a real malacha. It's a malacha grua. Ad kedekach, that you can even have a chakir and achronim. Now that you have a source for the malacha of hotzah, maybe there are some elements of hotzah that a little bit, even after we include it, maybe it's not as serious as the other malachas. So perhaps, by the way, this might be why Shlomo HaMelech needed to strengthen hotzah, maybe because people thought, it's not such a serious malacha. I don't take it so seriously. Maybe the opposite is also true. Maybe the reason we allow some of these. And actually, it's true, we'll talk about Erevin. We'll talk about how the Gemara in Erevin actually encourages communities to construct Erevin. Maybe it's because, maybe we're a little bit more lenient when it comes to Hotzah. Although, obviously, you need a proper Erev, it's Alpidin. But the idea that Erev is such an interesting topic is because Hotzah is such an interesting malacha. Hotzah is not, it's a malacha gru, it's not a serious malacha. So you have to have a special pasuk to tell you can't do that. Al yetze ish mimakomo al yotzi. Don't carry out, the Gemara says in Erevin.
So if it's Doraisa.
It's absolutely Doraisa. It's absolutely one of the 30. Oh, so Tosfos says, I needed a pasuk to tell you that this inferior malacha makes it into the list of 39. Had I not had a specific identification that this should be a malacha, I wouldn't have included it, because there's something missing. Now you see why I want to talk about this malacha, because if we know what's missing, that could tell us something about the nature of what malacha is in the first place. What's missing? What is it about hotzah that if you didn't have a limud, if you didn't have a makar, you wouldn't have included it? You would have left it out. So you have to specially identify it. Akadikach, that maybe even we're gonna afterwards treat it not like everybody else. Kind of be like the black sheep of all the malachas.
Couldn't you ask about every all of them?
You could, but you don't.
Yeah.
That's the question. What about hotzah is different? So you know who asked your question? The Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah of Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna, one of the great Rishonim, so you're talking 750 years ago, 800 years ago, he's asking this question. He's like, what about Hotzah is unusual? Why is it different than any other malacha? So take a look at source number 2. This is a very important line in the Or Zeruah to give us a clue as to what is the nature of malacha. So he quotes this Gemara in the 11th parak in Shabbos in Hazorik. Boy, the Gemara has a Shaila. Hotzah hecha ksiva. Where does it say the malacha of Hotzah? V'lo boila milfa mi mishkan. And we didn't want to suffice to just learn it from the Mishkan, which we'll talk about in Mirtz Hashem also at a future date, what the connection is between Shabbos and Mishkan. Today we're just going to focus on this narrow issue of malacha. Afal gav da'ave v'mishkan mishum de malacha, because it's a malacha, she'eino chashuvayi. It's not an important malacha. Not important. Why? So he says, look carefully. Dema malacha asa. What malacha did he do? Shehotzio meirishus, that he took it from one place. He took it from your backyard and he carried it out into the public domain, or vice versa. Meikara chefetz. Meikara means initially it was an object. Vahashtanami chefetz. And it's still the same object. There's no transformation in the chefza of the object. Oh. So the transformation is, you could say, maybe you can make a chakir here between the chefza, the object, and the gav of the person. So I did something by moving it from a private domain into a public domain, or I carried it four amos. I picked it up. I did an akira in the Rishus Rabbim. I took it four amos. I put it down. But the Or Zeruah says, you know why it's called a malacha grua or a malacha she'ina chashuva? Because there's no transformation of the chefetz. So this is the first hint as to what it means to be a malacha on Shabbos. Something which the thing, the chefetz, the item, is transformed. That's one thing we want to put out. Now there's one more element that's going to help us. It's almost like the polar opposite of this. If someone were to ask you, you know, are you allowed to make yourself like a nice breakfast on Shabbos morning? You know, you're not going to work, you love to make fresh breakfast. Can you wake up on Shabbos morning, pull out the frying pan, put some, you know, it depends on what your health love is. It, I don't know, is it butter, is it spray, is it, I don't know, what, margarine, whatever. And then you're going to make yourself a hot, fresh egg. And that's your favorite thing to do in the morning when you have a day off. So can you do that on Shabbos? Can't do that on Shabbos. So someone said to you, why not? Well, you know, Saturdays, it's the Jewish Sabbath. It's a day of rest. Well, what exactly does that mean when you say a day of rest? If you ask somebody, especially in antiquity, rest, Shvisa, that meant that you didn't do labor. But on Shabbos, the Ramban tells us that we need to know the difference between different kinds of activities. If we want to know what's prohibited on Shabbos, one way of thinking about this is to discern the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. On Yontif, when you wake up in the morning and you want a fresh scrambled egg, Gesundheit, right? It's great. You have a pre-lit fire from Erev Yontif, which is a separate discussion about Molid Adin Rabbanan, but you can make it on Yontif. So why are you allowed to do that on Yontif? So the Ramban explains in Parshas Vayikra, something that we probably grew up with intuitively, but now we could see it beferish. So you see the Ramban here in source number 3, it's in Vayikra, in Perikov Gimel. The Ramban says, pay attention to the Chumash. When it says you're not allowed to do malacha on Yontif, it doesn't say you're not allowed to do malacha. It says you're not allowed to do, you see what it says? Meleches avoda. I guess the best way to translate malacha is we could call it work for the moment. And avoda is labor. So meleches avoda is laborious work. Says the Ramban, avopirish meleches avoda, the laborious work, kol malacha, any malacha, she'ena letzorech ochal nefesh, that's not for the purpose of food preparation. That kind of labor is asr an yantif. But meleches ochal nefesh, food preparation, that's mutar an yantif. As he quotes from the pasuk, sheish yisyam v'tavavis is a kol malach techa, v'kayin haya ovid adama, uv'chol avoda basadeh. And he quotes, et cetera, et cetera. All these different psukim. Yeah. So, so in theory, you could have put an egg in the sun on Shabbos, but the Gemara does not consider that to be cooking. Chazal do not consider that to be cooking. We consider that to be a very unusual way of doing something. It's called Bishul Bachama. There is a question of why exactly Bishul Bachama is unusual, but if you assume, I think many of Rishonim assume that the reason why Bishul Bachama is mutter is because it's unusual, you then actually have an interesting discussion, a contemporary discussion about microwaves. Because the way that microwaves generate a cooking process is through the radiation that just excites the water molecules in the food item. So it's not through convection of heat from the outside. So that's an interesting question, Achron, whether or not Bishul in a microwave, Bisman Hazeh, is Bishul Daraisa or Bishul Drabanan. If you assume that cooking in the sun is Mutter Min HaTorah because it's not usual, so for many of us, we cook things in the microwave all the time. And that would mean that cooking in the microwave might be an Issa Daraisa. So it would actually be a Chumrah. But if you assume otherwise, then microwave still might only be Bidrabanan. But anyway, the point is that what the Ramban is telling you is that the way to determine malacha on Shabbos is not based on how much you sweat. That would be avoda. The Kayin, who is an oved adama, he was schwitzing, and he was digging, and he was sweating, and he was building, and he had tools, you know? That's avoda. But malacha is more inclusive. On Yontif, the only thing you're not allowed to do is shvitz malachas, malachas avoda. But you're allowed to do malachas ochel nefesh. It's not malachas hasadeh. That's the Ramban's distinction. So he has further distinction like this, the beginning of the third parak in the Milchamas and Beitza. But what this tells me now is this is another way of thinking about malacha on Shabbos, that it's not about a shvitz factor. If we put these two dinim together, yeah.
That seems like a really slippery slope. So you
that mean?
Cook your egg on Chag, and then.
I'd say that again.
On Chag, on Yontif.
Yes, you cooked your egg on Yontif.
You're going to sit down until your chair collapses. And, oh my gosh! You just have to put this pin right in here, and it's
excellent. Okay, so the Gemara, you are absolutely right, Glenn. I'll repeat the question. Glenn's question was, well, what about a slippery slope when it comes to defining food activities on Yontif? So it's interesting. The Gemara actually has a machlokas. I don't want to get too far afield today, but this is, I mean, he brings it up. What are we going to do? We're going to throw him out? The Gemara has a machlokas in Beitza about what's called machshire ochel nefesh. So I want to eat an egg on Yontif, so I need a frying pan. So can I wake up the first day of Yontif and say, oh, Taka, I forgot to buy a frying pan, so I'm going to go to my backyard. I'm going to heat up my furnace. I'm going to bring out my blacksmith tools and start making a frying pan. So this is a machlokas. It's a machlokas tanoim about whether machshiri ochel nefesh, can I make a fork on Yontif? I'm not going to eat the fork. The fork will remain after Yontif, but I need the fork to eat my breakfast.
Otherwise, yolk's on you.
Exactly. Very good. Very good. Okay.
Now you can throw
it. That's it. So the Gemara has a machlokas about this between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. They have different drashos. So what's interesting is if you look in the din in Shulchan Aruch, we have a halachic principle called slippery slope. It's such a thing. It's called halacha ve'ein morin kein. It's the halacha, but we don't paskin that publicly because we're worried that people. So this is one of those areas where we apply the principle of halacha ve'ein morin kein, that even if we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that you would be allowed to make a frying pan or make a fork. We don't paskin that because we're worried that people are going to then, you know, make a chair. Well, the chair, it's very difficult to claim that the chair, you know, so don't sit on the chair, so find another chair. So this is a really, really interesting topic. It's not for today, but that's the idea of slippery slope in this area is spot on, Aliba de Hilchasa. In Halacha, it's spot on. Anyway, but coming back here, now, if someone were to ask you, wait a second, I want to understand what is the frame of Malacha on Shabbos? Well, I have on the one hand, this Or Zeruah who's telling me, well, it's something that relates to a Chetza, and then we expand it to including Hotzah. That even though the Chetza, the item, is not transformed, the circumstance has transformed. You've done something that is going to affect this. And now the Ramban is telling me that it's not just something which looks like it's a lot of exertion or labor. It's this new thing called Balacha. So that would be even making an egg. So what is the exact definition here? Well, one way to think about that is to look through this list. So the Mishnah here in Ein Gimel, in source number 4, the Mishnah give you all the Avos Malachos. There are 39 Avos Malachos. Avos Malachos are Boim Chasar Achas. So if you look on the next page, Rav Hirsch, in Parshas Vayakel, he gives you in English the 39 categories of what he calls, this is going to be the first key determinant, productive work. So, you can read along in the English. In the Hebrew, you have Zorea, Choresh, Kotzer. This is what we call Sidura Depas, the way to make bread. So that's the first 11 Malachos. That's going to take you all the way from planting and plowing through Ofe, baking. Then you're going to have clothes making. So it's going to be Gozeza Satsemer, shearing, whitening, weaving, tying. All that's going to take you to Korea Almanas Litfor, tearing for the purpose of something constructive. Then you're going to have making paper for writing. So in those days, they didn't use, you know, Hewlett-Packard inkjet paper. They used hide, used parchment. So you have to catch an animal, you have to shech the animal, you have to treat the hide, you have to skin it, to smooth it, the whole thing. And then you're going to have building and making a fire. Good. Oh, amazing. Why is it say our boim chasar achas? This is also a very important topic. Deep topic. I hope we'll hopefully get to at some point this year. This idea that you have something which is a davar shalem, is whole, is very much associated with the number 40. So how many saw do you have in a mikvah? You have 40 saw to be completely submerged. How many malchus theoretically do you give a person? Theoretically, you give them 40. Our boim yakenu, but you take one off. And this relates to the notion that the world of chisaron, of lack, and there's more to say about this, never reaches the fullness of 40. So a person, God forbid, breaks Shabbos, but they never break it in its entirety. We always say there's a little bit left, there's a pintliyid, the same way that you wouldn't give somebody 40 malchus. There's a little something that the Chazal identified. You can't reach such a level of total desecration, God forbid. You can only reach the 40, the fullness of creation, of rebuilding, of rehabilitating. That's why there's 40 days between the beginning of Elul until Yom Kippurim. That's the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Sinai. That's the 40 days that he got the Torah, the next Luchos. This is a big, it's a big Torah, that the breaking, God forbid, it's only 39. It never really gets to 40. But they tell you it's Arboim Chasar Achas, to kind of convey that theme. Anyway, also for another big, big discussion. But Rav Hirsch, when he lists all these 39 malachas, take a look a little farther down where the arrow is on the page. If we look into all these categories, they all have the common quality of being actual, constructive, or productive activities. So this is going to be, if somebody asks you, what is prohibited on Shabbos? Min HaTorah, the definition of malacha, is a work, an activity, which is constructive or productive, i.e., such by which the object becomes changed. That's the Shinoi and the Chayfetz. That was the Orza Ruah's comment. He does mention it, but that's the way we're going to teach it. And by the intentional work accomplished, man's power and mastery over matter is demonstrated. So now, if the definition of malacha is something which is constructive, something which is productive, by refraining from that, what have we accomplished? Why is it that the Rebbe wants us to refrain from this? Says Rav Hirsch. Hence, refraining from exercising this power on Shabbos is a befitting manner of showing man's allegiance to the one true master and creator, to whom man, in his mastery over matter and apparently creative powers, right, we have the ability to transform something, to create, is only a leaseholder, a servant. Even the gathering together and heaping up of the products of the soil, that's the malacha of ma'amer, and the catching of wild animal or fish, although the fruit or animal is not changed in itself, although you could argue on that. Now you've created a pile, you've created a product which you can eat, brings about such an essential change in bringing it out of the free state of nature into the control and power of human possession that these acts too fall under the same basic idea as the others. So this is the first level. If somebody were to ask you, what is the Hagdara? In Hebrew you say Hagdara. What's the definition of malacha on Shabbos? It's something which is creative. And so by not creating, we are so to speak, stepping back and saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you are the one creator. We think, we look like we're creating during the week, but we're just acting. We're pretending. Or in a different way, you gave us the capacity to create, and even if we are creating during the week, it's all you. And this idea is developed beautifully in this work. This is a gift that my brother gave to me. Ayin Beis, Ayin Pei, 20 years ago. My brother gave to me 20 years ago this gift, which is a remarkable, beautiful, beautiful sefer. It's called Shabbos Malkasa. It's authored by Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Rav Pinkus was a very prominent and prolific speaker. He lived in Ofakim. And unfortunately, probably now, I don't know, 15 years or maybe 20 years ago already. I don't know if it's already before this was published. He was killed, Tavshin Samach Aleph, 21 years ago. He was killed in a car accident in Israel. And his wife and his daughter, and it was a terrible loss for the Jewish people to have such a brilliant and promising, he was a young man, I think he was in his 50s when he died. So he had, at that point, written three thin svarim that looked like this. I have the three of them. And then, after that, a lot of the cassette tapes were transcribed. So now there are lots of svarim. But those bigger books that you'll find in a bookstore, those are posthumously published collections of things that he said over. This is his actual original work. He himself wrote this work. It's all about Shabbos. It's called Shabbos Malkasa. So he gives a beautiful mashal, or an expression of this idea. The idea that a person is an Eved Hashem, is a servant of Hashem. What does that mean? So he says, he takes this idea, he says, a person, during the week, we think that we're independent, that we're in control, that we're creating. But then, we take one step back, and we are misbatel. We, so to speak, nullify ourselves before the Borei Olam. That's an expression of being an Eved Hashem. So he points out, he says, Befrat, that Shabbos is me'es le'es, 25 hours, so it's an entire period where we are not creating, where we're not doing. And it's shocking. You know, if someone were to ask you, and especially now, it's very, very poignant today, in antiquity, maybe it wasn't such a big deal to take 25 hours off. But today, you tell somebody you're on Shabbat, 25 hours, you can't be reached. People can't understand that. Right? They go nuts. 25 hours, you can't be reached? Right, in antiquity, things were much slower. So, okay, it was a big deal that a person didn't harvest for a day, and maybe that would cost them, you know, their food if they couldn't harvest. But okay, but today, Shabbos, he talks about Zmana Me'es La'es, the whole day. No work, a 24-hour period, which is kind of like a little microcosm of life. It's a full set of daytime and nighttime. That whole period, you're not doing. It's an expression of avdus, of being an eved Hashem, because you leave everything back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that shows me that the whole 6 days a week that I'm running and I'm doing and I'm texting and I'm handling and I'm dealing and I'm creating, it's really all in the service of Hashem. So I think this is one beautiful way of understanding why it is that we're not doing all this creative activity. And why it is that on Yontif, you can make a fried egg, because Yontif, it's not an Isser Malacha, it's only an Isser Malacha's Avoda. But on Shabbos, you can't make a fried egg. Because even in that small, tiny way, you have done something transformational. You have created something. My Rebbe Rav Moshe Stav, so before I was in Karen Biavna in his shir, he used to tell us about his educational opportunities that he was involved in teaching Balos Tshuva. So he said one of the Balos Tshuva in the shir once asked him, he didn't understand the whole malacha of borer, that you have a bone and fish, and it matters whether you take the fish out of the bone or the bone out of the fish. So Stav, I remember he told us this 20, 25 years ago. He said to this woman, in Hebrew he says, Im zaya pil hayit mevina? If it was an elephant, would it make more sense? Just because it's small, it's not about small and big. It's about whether or not you've transformed something. Have you done something creative? If you feel that I've created something, then that's for the weekday. It's not for Shabbos. Shabbos is, there's no I created. That's probably the simplest way of understanding this. But there's more. You ready for this? I'm super excited about this. Because just a few weeks ago, arriving at my doorstep, unbeknownst to Nechama, and I whisked it downstairs to my office before she saw this box come in the door, 3 new Sfarim arrived. This is a brand new set of Sfarim. Although it's not exactly brand new for the whole world, it's certainly new to me. It's called Yichud HaShabbos. It's 3 volumes all about Shabbos by Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger. Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger is a big-time influential mashpia in Beit Shemesh today. He's the head of a Beit Shemesh called Nezer Yisrael. He's a Breslover chassid, and he's a prolific author. He's written, 30 books. Unbelievable. So he has 3 volumes on Shabbos. So when I was thinking over the summer that we would spend the whole year learning Shabbos, and I heard that Rav Kluger has Sfarim on Shabbos, I'm like, this is going to be an important pickup. So he picks up here on a new element of this idea of creativity on Shabbos that I never thought about, and it's so amazing. It's so amazing. Because probably everything that we said until now, if someone would have asked you at work, you would have told this to them, probably. Right? You could have given this year. It didn't take a big chacham to say over there, you knew the Arzaru already, you knew the Rav Hirsch, you knew this. Shabbos, it's about creativity, not about schwitzing. Beseder. That we knew. But he has such a fascinating ha'ara that I did not think of, which maybe, he doesn't mention this, but it fits with a different piece in Rav Hirsch where he takes it a step further. Take a look at this fascinating piece in Rav Hirsch back in Bereishis. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the Borei Olam Kiviyachol, he created the world through Malacha. We say this. The Ribbono Shel Olam stopped. Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi, Malach To Asher Asa. The Ribbono Shel Olam did Malacha. So what does it mean that God did Malacha? So I would have said, he did Malacha because he did creative work to make the world into being. All those things he created. So Rav Hirsch, he does something so interesting, and he does this a lot because he's very interested in etymology, meaning the roots of words. So Hirsch makes a fascinating observation that I never thought of. He says that the word malacha is related to the word malach. How about that? I don't know. I've been observing Shabbos for 40 plus years. I never thought of that. I never observed that. But just in preparing this week, looking from one thing to the next, this Rav Hirsch, he says, look at this. Everything that God created is called malachto. Malacha does not denote work in the sense of labor, this is what we spoke about from the Ramban, but in the sense of completion or accomplishment. Labor is concerned only with the toil, the effort entailed in an activity, without regard to the result. Malacha, by contrast, is concerned only with the result, the objective, the product of the activity. Malacha is simply the feminine form of malach. How about that? The truth is that these terms are almost synonymous. Only that malach refers to a personality, whereas malacha refers to a thing. Just as a malach is an agent, the executor of the idea and intention of another, so malacha is a thing that executes the idea and intention of an intelligence. Any material that an intelligence has endowed with form for the sake of certain purpose becomes, by virtue of this form, malachto, the impersonal agent, the executor of the purpose of that intelligence. For example, suppose that some willow branches lie before us. As such, they have no specific purpose and can be used for a variety of purposes. But if I weave them into a basket, then they will henceforth serve only that purpose I have assigned to them by giving them a new form. The branches that I weave into a basket become my impersonal malach, my malach.
That ties into shinui too.
So now I'm thinking, okay, it's not just that this activity is creative, that it transforms the chefza in some way, or it transforms it from being in one locale to the other by including chutzah. It's that I, as the person who's doing this, identified that goal of transforming this into something. We're going to talk about this, Mirtz Hashem, a different week, maybe next week. The concept of meleches machsheves, the role of intention when you do a malacha. It's a whole world. But for Rav Hirsch, inherent in the word malacha of malach is agency. So now, put this together with a Malbim that Rav Kluger quotes. Take a look at this Malbim. Says the Malbim, the context here is Yom Kippurim, where there's Isur malacha, like Shabbos. V'chol malacha lo sasu, says the following. Kol esek shiyas asek ha'adam lef'ol. Any activity that a person engages in to affect, lef'ol, to affect, to do, ezeh davar, something, letzorech tachlis miyuchad, for a specific purpose. Nikra malacha. That's called malacha. When it has a lot of exertion, va'amal haguf, and human sweat, nikra meleches avoda. That's called malacha of avoda. So it's not just creative action. It's purposeful creative action. There's an agency here. There's a goal. So says Rav Kluger, something I never thought of. All right, I never thought of most things. What is it that precipitates accomplishing a goal? What came before the goal? What is it that I felt, that I experienced deep down on some level, that precipitated my action? Yeah, can you say that one more time with a lot of feeling?
A need.
A need. A want, a need, a lack. I want an egg. I don't have an egg, so I'm going to make an egg. So malacha is a creative activity that fills a need. Right? I didn't have this pile of apples, and I wanted to have a pile of apples. I had a want, and then I filled it with whatever I did, right? Says Rav Kluger, look at this point. This is on page 24. Umavur, it's the last source on the page. Shemalacha, malacha, mugbeles bitzimtzum umida. It is circumscribed with precision, with limitations, kolomai, as if to say, sha'adam, that a person, mevakesh, decides, seeks, lohachin maichal, they want to make a food item. They want to cook something. They want to prepare something to eat. O beged, or a piece of clothing. Umakbir al tsuraso. And of course, you have a specific intention for what you want that to look like. You go out to a restaurant, you don't say, bring me something. You say, I'd like to order a hamburger, or I'd like to order a steak, or lo aleinu, you order a salad. So, you know, different tsuras. Tikol ikar isko bepu'ula zu, everything that you're involved in this activity, hu letzorech, it is for the purpose of tachlis miyuchad, a specific purpose, right? You want to write an email. You don't want to just have someone put letters on a page. You want to write an email, a letter to someone. You want to convey a message. It's talich yitzur. There's this process of creation. She'eno kistam poel o schir yom. You're not like just a schir yom, a poel, who just picks and picks and picks and picks. No, you're a gavra. You're a person. So you decide, I want to do this. I want to dye my hair. I want to shine my shoes. I decide that I have this lack, so I'm going to fill it. Right? That's what we do every time we do anything that's creative. It's not that mevatel daitorul ritzono el balabayas. It's not that you do some kind of mindless actions. No. El kebalabayas atzmo. You're in control of your body, which is one of the very great things that the Rebbe Shlomo has gifts that he gave us. And it's sometimes unfortunate that the only time we appreciate that is sometimes when that gift is taken away. When I sat as a young person, as a 14-year-old boy, in the carriage club south, in the apartment with my grandparents, Zichronim Levracha, and my grandfather, we had to do special exercises together, and he had to do activities with his fingers, because after his stroke, his mobility was severely limited. So to rehabilitate that, he had to, you know, write with his left hand. He had to practice all kinds of things. Those are gifts that the Rebbe Shalom gives us that, Baruch Hashem, we take it for granted. We take it for granted that we can do all of these tachlis miyuchad, that we're the balabatim of our Ivarim, that we could just get in the car and drive here. But that assumes that we're in control, that we have the ability, the faculty and the capability to exercise all those things. How amazing is that? Which we probably take for granted a lot too often, which is probably why Chazal gave us Birchas HaShachar, to say, do you know what it means to be able to put on your socks in the morning without somebody helping you, lo aleinu? Right? These are, right, we take it for granted. But when we run through life, we are balabatim of ourselves. So we make decisions. I want this, I'm going to do that. We're a balabal, bias, sheyeshlo tochniot. We have, at the end of this little paragraph, we have tochniot. Imagine, we decide we want to fly to Israel. We're going to get up, we have the ability, buy a ticket, get on a plane, we're going to fly to Israel. We do these things. We do it without even realizing how unbelievable it is. Right? V'cheshbonos mishalo b'chol asakav. Umeyata says now, Rav Kluger, amazing ha'ara. Next paragraph, meyata. Habitul malacha hanidrash b'Shabbos. What does it mean that we cease doing malacha on Shabbos? Pirusho, bitul machsheves tochnios hayetzira. Stop not just doing creative action, but stop thinking that we are going to create. Ki'ilu ein etzlo shum erech l'gvulos v'tzimtzumim sheshokar aleim imosachol. All of those limitations that we wanted to deal with during the weekday, all the things that we lacked, kach o kach, this or this, kiminhago of the practice shel hatam of the whole person. That what? Shahaya merutza mikol ma shehiviu lo. That was happy and appreciated everything that they have. V'choshev be'emes uvesomim, the person really thinks, ki'ilu kol malachto asuya, that everything is done for them. This phrase from Chazal, that a person feels that on Shabbos, kol malachto asuya, everything is done for them, that is the underlying principle of malacha. Meaning, why does a person do a malacha? Because they feel like I'm lacking something. I'm lacking. I'm lacking the egg. I'm lacking the shine shoes. I'm lacking whatever it is. I'm lacking something. So I need to create to fill that lack, right? That's the world that we were given. Sheish Yisyam and Tavod. The Rebbe Shlomo gave us a world with so many lacunae, so many things that are lacking. And he says to us, go work. Fill all those things that are lacking. So come Shabbos, by not doing a creative action, it's not just that we demonstrate and we say, Ribono Shel Olam, you're the ultimate creator. Of course, that's Shlav Aleph. But now Shlav Beis is saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you're the ultimate creator, and I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I get to a place on Shabbos where I feel that if I have you, Kiviyachol, if it's just me and God, I'm all good. I'm at peace. Shabbat, shalom. Shalem, shlemus. I feel like kol malachto asuya. So by not doing creative activity, what I'm trying to really reinforce is just accepting the wholeness of my life. Kol malachto asuya. Yeah.
If Hotzala means you can't take your handkerchief out in your pocket without an Eruv, why can you take yourself out to Rosh Hashanah? Why is that different?
So, it's actually not so different. It's not so different, which is why you are 100% right. That Gemara in Erevin, not the Gemara of Hotzah, the Gemara has two other Makotas, right? One is Vayaviru Kol B'Machaneh, about bringing things for the Melech HaMishkan. Another one is the Krushim, where they had to pick up the beams from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the desert and put them on the wagons, which is the Rishus HaYachid. The Gemara has that other Maramakon that we mentioned later, Al Yetzei Ish Mimakomo. There is a din called Tchum, that you also shouldn't go too far. According to Rabbi Akiva, Yud Beis Mil, that's Doraisa. So there, obviously the Rebbe Shlomo wants to give us different dargas. And there is a purpose to, for us to be able to go to shul, go to someone's home, get out and take a walk. So that's not a creative action on Shabbos, but there is, in truth, it's not a malacha, tchumen is not a malacha, but it's a dimension of Shabbos. Because it's not creative, so you haven't accomplished anything bepu'ula, you can't call it a malacha, but the idea that there is some limit to where we should be experiencing, where we should be going and doing, and I shouldn't say doing at all, it means where we should be traveling, you know, drifting, we shouldn't be drifting, we should be present. We shouldn't be going anywhere. Al yetze yish min bekomo. Just be home. Be in your community. Be in your home. And the truth is, people who grew up in a time and a place, which was not me, but people who grew up in a time and a place where they didn't have an Eruv, they really felt like Shabbos, they belonged to be at home. Which, that's not a bad thing. If you look, the Or Sameach says, and we're getting far afield and we're running out of time, but the Or Sameach says that if you look at the fundamental difference between Shabbos and Yontif, in a non-Eruv community, what's the difference? Company, cooking, getting together with people. On Shabbos, you stayed home with your own family and your own kids, and there's no strollers and there's no going out. But on Yontif, everybody gets together because ain't Eruv Otzal Yontif. We paskin that you know, it's a big machlokas, Beishamah, Beishillah, Lahoel, and the Gemara, and Beitz, and Dafi Beis, all that. But Lamaisa, bottom line is, if you have a reason to go out, a reason to push a stroller, to carry a machzer, to carry your kids, to go to the next door neighbor, or to down the street, so you can do that on Yontif. But on Shabbos, Be'etzim, it's not. But all that being said, Tchumen is not a malacha. Because there's nothing that's been transformed, there's no cheftza. Yeah?
Maybe, you know, taking yourself out is not considered a tzar unless you have something in your pocket.
Yes. Because then you're carrying.
But that you can, you have, which has the potential to do something with, even though you're not, you know, that might not be your intention.
Well, by carrying something, I have created a new circumstance for this chefza. And that was the chiddush. That's what the Or Zeruah said, and that's what Tosfos is saying, is that's not exactly transformational, but it's sufficiently transformational to constitute a malacha.
But it may not have potential.
It may not just be so, transformation. It's the fact that you have an intent and a need.
Yes. Exactly, but there's still something that has to do with a chefza. You know, I have a need to take a walk in the park. That's not a malacha, because I haven't done any transformational action. So all this together now, I realize what it is that Shvisa mi malacha means on Shabbos. It means that by not doing, I demonstrate that I'm an Eved Hashem, that the Rebbe Shalom creates everything, but I'm also saying to myself, I'm happy where I am. Rebbe Shalom, me and you, we're good. We're good. And you know what? I have to make sure, to whatever extent I feel in Olam Hazeh, that I need to have, you know, a warm food on Shabbos. So Chazal said, you know what? It's true. You need to have warm food on Shabbos. Take care of it before Shabbos. Take care of it before Shabbos. Do everything before Shabbos so that when you enter Shabbos, you have a feeling that it's you and the Rebbe Shalom and Kol Malach Techa Asuya. That's the whole point. It's not saying that, oh, as human beings, we're supposed to abdicate our responsibilities of working in the world. No. Sheishis Yametavod. And Adraba. You know, there's a special pasuk, Ve'ichinu Eisa Shayaviu, this is a Din Doraisa, that there's a mitzvah of Hachana, that you have to prepare. The person didn't prepare, so what are they going to expect? No, but if you do all of the work, the Sheishis Yametavod, whatever the Rebbe Shalom gave you this week, whatever we are blessed with having, physically, our abilities, the material things that we have, the food, everything, when we come to Shabbos, we should say, Ribon Shalom, we're good. We should not feel that we need to do more. We shouldn't feel that we need to fix our lives. We need to address that issue. No, we should be good with where we are. I'll end with one maisa. The Chacham Halev told an amazing maisa. We should probably tell this a few times over the course of the year because it really... But it's at the heart of this thing that we're just, are we okay with where we are, with who we are, with what we have? Do we feel that kol malach techa asuya, that by not driving on Shabbos, by not starting a fire, it's meant to reinforce the fact that I don't need to keep filling voids because I don't really have a void. I should just realize that I don't have that void. So there was a secular couple who didn't yet understand the beauty of Shabbos that was on a visit to Israel. So they're staying at the King David Hotel, and they hire a taxi driver to take them for a tiyul on Friday. And so he drives them around. They went to, you know, it doesn't matter where they went. And they come back Friday afternoon, so he drops them off Friday afternoon at the front, you know, that big, beautiful entryway of the King David. So the taxi driver drops them off. It's a Chiloni fellow, and they had a great day. They love this taxi driver. So it's this couple with their two children. So they get out of the cab, and they said to themselves, this was so great, the man and the woman, they're like, this great, we should get this driver for tomorrow. So they say to him that tomorrow they want to go to the Dead Sea on Saturday, so can he please take them to the Dead Sea tomorrow? So the secular guy, you know, the whole, with probably the little chamsa thing hanging from the thing, and no kippah, but okay. So he says, I can't take you tomorrow to the Dead Sea. Machar zeh Shabbat. So they don't know from, you know, Shabbat. They don't know from this. So they say to him, you know, appreciate that it's Shabbat, so we'll pay you time and a half. Because we're American, you know. This guy says, no. Machar ani lo noseya. Machar zeh Shabbat. So they say, I don't know the whole Hebrew. I don't know what to tell you, sir, but like, we'll pay you whatever you want. Can you take us to the Dead Sea tomorrow? So the guy says, I'm sorry, I cannot take you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Shabbos. And they start walking to the hotel, and this secular cab driver, he looks up, he says, Shabbat, ani va'ata biyachad. Ani va'ata biyachad. That's what Rav Pinkus says is Shabbos. It's the Yom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we spend the whole day, our whole lives, constantly thinking we're lacking, we're lacking, we're lacking, and so we need to constantly create to fill that lack, do we ever realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's given us everything we should have? And one day a week, we should just realize, ani va'ata biyachad, and I shouldn't feel the need to do more malacha. Or, if I feel a need to do more malacha, the restriction of Isra malacha, you know what should keep telling me? Ata b'seder. You're okay. You don't really need that right now. Right now, you just need the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ani va'ata biyachad. And so, well, one of the things that we need to explore over the rest of the year is, okay, this is true for what we do not do. So now how do we fill Shabbos with that Kedusha, that sense of ani va'ata biyachad? But at least we need to create the space, that restricted airspace of demonstrating that we are Avdei Hashem and that on Shabbos Kol malachtecha asuya. And that we do by restraining, by refraining from Isra malacha.